Blog Talk Radio.
Ace was born to race. He had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with a devil's nerve, make a car dance across the mud, and haul and shine with his regular lines till the track got in his blood. He was a real hot shot and he bragged a lot, but man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved the feel of the steering wheel and the girls with the bedroom eyes. And in a racing tide or a barroom fight, old Stroker stole the show. A backstretch blazer, a real hell raiser, and a racetrack Romeo.
Mama, lock your daughters up, that foul bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's brakes have failed. There's oil slick on the inside and a rick along the rail. You better stand on the stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines moan. But you gotta hang tough and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down, they'll shove you up against the wall. And you always know when the engine blows that a man can't win them all. You could push that car just a little too far any Sunday afternoon. And if you'd break your neck, some damn fool wreck, they'd forget about you soon. But old Stroker Ace was born to race and it's worth all the trying. Just to drink champagne in the victory lane and to hear that concrete whine.
Stroker, get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make a lap up if you're gonna take that checkered flag.
Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on the floor. You better stand on the stroker, cause you're blowing off their door.
Blow the doors off, stroker. Stand on it, son. Good-looking devil, you.
morning, Sports Nation. Welcome back to the show. We are back. I know. We came back for a couple weeks, and then, my schedule gets a little bit screwed up, and here we are. It's already February, but we've got a lot to catch up on. We've got the Super Bowl 57 coming up. We've got NASCAR. They are back. We've got dirt racing tonight. We've got all kinds of sports update tonight. Christina will be joining me in just a couple minutes. She will have this week's penalty box and the ballsiest player of the week as well. All of that coming up tonight. So keep it tuned right here to the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game, only the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Let's go! To the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. We are back. It is February. It's already February, second month of the year. Here we are. We are 2 weeks in, and we've got all kinds of sports going on now. We've got football still. We've got basketball. We've got hockey. NASCAR just started. Dirt racing is starting back up, which means many of the small town short tracks across the country will be opening their gates very soon. So be ready for that. Check your local small town short track schedule to see when they start and circle some dates and make sure you get to a track this year. If you haven't been ever or haven't been in a while, make sure you visit your local small town short track. You are what helps keep the gates open, keeps the drivers coming back and racing, and keeps racing alive. We'll talk more about grassroots racing coming up in a little bit. Right now, let me bring on my wonderful co-host from South Florida, where it's probably a little bit warmer, probably a little bit nicer weather, and definitely probably no cities on fire. down there. Christina, how you doing?
I'm doing good. No city on fire. I mean, that would be the norm for Miami, but not today. I feel like that's your fault. I don't know what happened. How does the railroad catch, you know, a city on fire? I don't know.
Not my fault directly. It wasn't our railroad, but tease a little bit because I don't believe anybody. Train crews say they got out of the point that major happened. I haven't heard. I don't think anybody has been killed from that, but that was a pretty serious derailment. For those who haven't heard yet, I don't know how. I had a friend message me from California who knows about it. So this is nationwide news now. But yes, the Norfolk and Southern, they derailed in East Palestine, which is about an hour and 20 minutes east of me.
Oh, now that I know what railroad it is, it makes more sense. Never mind.
Right. Yes.
That's not shocking, but that group.
So they derailed in East Palestine, which is just a little small country
again
city on the border of Ohio and PA. It's about probably 30, 35, 40 minutes from Pittsburgh. Now, people from Pittsburgh.
Too bad it wasn't closer.
People from Pittsburgh could see the fire, Christina. That's how big.
Well,
this
I
thing
mean,
was.
It made
there was,
it made all the local news here, and I mean, I'm 1,700 miles away from
yeah
where it was. So, and I'm like, what was I even watching? I think it was in between like hockey and NASCAR this weekend, and I was like, wait, what the hell is this? And then, you know, Jim and I are watching it, and Jim's like, Pete do this? I was like, I don't know, but we're about to find out, because I'm going to message him and see what the hell is up. But now that you say it was Norfolk Southern, that makes mm-hmm. a lot more sense, considering they're
right.
a bunch of weirdos and goofballs, and, you know, you don't have to pass an IQ test to work there.
Well, yeah, the NS, we go to NS property, we interchange with the NS, and they they're a big class one railroad, they have a lot of rules, but yeah, Christina, I would rather go to NS property than CSX. I don't like CSX.
I don't even know who the hell they are.
Yeah, see, there's so many railroads in this country. CSX
know,
is another big
yeah.
railroad. In the
see,
in the eastern part of the country.
Whatever, ironically, you see some of these logos and stuff here because, you know, I do live right. The railroad is, like, literally right in front of where I live. So I hear right. it, you know. Granted, they don't. So here's the thing. In South Florida, people are stupid. I can say this. I live here. I got my driver's license somewhere other than Florida, which makes perfect sense as to why I can drive and other people are retarded when it comes to driving. So the only time you hear the train horn is, well, when you know that it's about to shut down the whole railroad and roadway when some moron decides to try to beat the train and get hit by the train.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't use the train horns during certain times of the year. There's, you know, during certain times of the year, they also don't have lights and stuff on in certain areas due to that will change the migration and the breeding and laying of the eggs process for the sea turtles. It's a big thing here, and they will block off as soon as they find a nest. That portion of the beach has been blocked off. I think I've showed you before some pictures of like the blocked off areas where the turtles laid eggs
mm-hmm.
at our beach. But so there's a lot of things that happen, but at least once a week I hear it and I already know what's going to happen. And then I get the alert on my Ring camera, because if you have you know, the ring. Your neighborhood likes to go cuckoo ca-choo when stuff happens, wanting to know why there's police everywhere and so forth. But that's probably why, because people ignore the railroad signs, the crossing shit, everything, and they try to beat the train. We also have what they call Bright Line. If you don't know what that is, look it up. I suggest you look it up. They call it the death train. And it's not because, not because of, like, what is going on right now and, you know, not that, not a derailment, but because people are morons, and this is a high-speed train. This is a train that will take you, from Fort Lauderdale to Miami in, like, I don't know, 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can imagine it's not slow, it's not Amtrak, it's not any of that, it's not Trailway. It's like literally Tri-Rail or anything. It's literally a high-speed train. Once a week, somebody has got creamed, decided to drive their car on the railroad track and leave it there. It's literally stupid. Like, it's just epitome of stupid. So, yeah, I know all about the trains and the drama. Yeah, we'll live right in front of it. It's crazy. They shut down our whole block a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I think the railroad right there by you is the East Coast, I think.
Yeah, we see everything. So, yeah, I mean, we see Norfolk. Like, we see Norfolk down here, with the big freight train and, like, you know, sometimes there's some Ohio train components on the freight trains and stuff. So, I mean, I see it all, but, yeah. I see, you know, people are stupid and they try to beat the train. And then they want to blame the train. It's the train's fault.
Right. But,
people are stupid.
So the derailment in East Palestine, thoughts and prayers, though, to the whole town. Hopefully nobody's dead. I haven't heard if anybody has died from it.
I just heard that they evacuated, evacuated the area. They encouraged people not to go near it and so forth. I mean, but this is America and people are stupid, so when you tell them not to do something,
they do it.
Yeah, they do exactly what you tell them not to do, which, you know, it's America. I don't know.
They have evacuated the entire area, city now, because because it's 70 cars that derailed, and
that's crazy.
All were on fire. Most of them are tanks. Some of the tanks were carrying vinyl chloride, which is very, very, very deadly chemical. It is used to make PVC piping, and plastics. It can cause cancer. But what happened is some of these tanks are on fire, so
they can't put it out.
Right, they can't get near it because of some of the chemicals. So what they're doing is they have explosive teams in there, and they're actually control exploding the tanks so that it's under control, so that they can contain it better. And so that the firemen can get in there and actually put out the fire. So, yeah, this is going to be a very long time for a cleanup. But, yeah, the whole area over there, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody over there involved. This is going to be very costly for the NS, but they're a multi-billion-dollar company a year. So even something like this.
They can handle it.
Even something like this, a couple, probably tens of millions of dollars is not going to hurt them very much, but you hate to see it. I haven't heard exactly the reason for the derailment. I've heard a few things. No, I've heard a few things.
Okay.
It sounds like there was some bad wheels or bearings on the train.
Who is in charge of that?
That would be the department, but a different show. We'll talk about that some other time. But no, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We got the All-Star Circuit Champions are kicking off pretty much their season tonight down there around you, I believe.
Yeah, they're not far. They're in Volusia County. That's a little above, it's right above Orlando, basically. It's like a 4.5-hour drive. No, I'm not there. I'm still here in Hollywood for the time being. You never know where I'll end up, though. Later this week or anything. I don't know. It's all up in the air. So, yeah, they're going to start their season and then be off for, like, 6 months.
Right.
Not that long, but
almost
long enough, considering, yeah, they're going to go back north and y'all are dealing with, you know, cold weather and all that lovely stuff I left behind.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So they are down in Volusia. It's for a few days, I believe.
They'll be here for a little while, and then the All-Stars will be doing their thing, and then the World Outlaws will do theirs. So they're not going anywhere. They're just going to, hang out in Florida, which, I mean, hello, who wouldn't want to hang out in Florida in February?
Duh.
Just saying.
Yeah, right? And you got NASCAR after all that. So a lot of action down there in South Florida. Around you, Christina. So there's a lot going on.
Brady hanging out, too.
Yeah, Tom Brady is finally officially retired again.
So he
says. Yeah. So congratulations
to him. I'm not
going to
believe it. No, I'm not believing anything until the next season starts and he isn't in a jersey. I mean, how many times do you – he's a Jimmy Johnson of retiring.
He is. You're right. Because, right.
Look, he retired too, supposedly. But, I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit. But he's back. That
yeah,
was like,
he
what, a two-year hiatus?
Right. He didn't leave for very long, did he? But
he can't stay away.
Yeah. So we haven't done talking. We haven't talked dirty for very much. For very long. So it's been a while. So
there's not a lot going on either.
There's not. Yeah, not yet. Like we said, tonight
in 2 weeks, you'll be a little better off. I won't be around next week. My daughter's in town. I don't know where I'll be.
I'll have to manage the whole show by myself. I think I can handle it. But no, the All-Stars are
champions. Pretty sure
you've
done it before.
They are in Volusia tonight and tomorrow. And then next week, if you need a good Valentine's date and you live down around Tampa, you could check out East Bay Raceway Park. The All-Stars will be at East Bay for 2 days for the Winter Nationals down there. And then, like Christina said, they'll be off for 2 months until they come back north in April, but after the All-Stars are done with their Dirt Car Nationals at Volusia, as Christina mentioned, the World of Outlaws will pick up on Thursday and run 3 days at Volusia for the Dirt Car Nationals. They'll be there Thursday through Saturday. So for the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, and then the Case Construction late models, Christina, will also be at Volusia for 3 days. Next Thursday, the 16th, 17th, and 18th, Thursday through Saturday, for their Dirt Car Nationals. So, amongst different two different cars, sprint cars, and late models down there at Volusia, they're going to see quite a bit of action for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and I predict Brad Sweet will get 2 Gators, and one will be the championship Gator, and then the other Gator will go to, let's see. I will go with Sheldon getting one, too. We'll put Sheldon in there. But I truly think it's Brad Sweet's weekend to win it. Brad Sweet loves Volusia. Volusia loves Brad Sweet. So, you know, David Gravel performs well here too, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to see here if Sheldon can prove me wrong and that he can win at Malaysia. So we'll see.
Well, the feature hasn't been ran yet at Volusia for tonight yet, but Alex Bowman, Sheldon Houdenshield, and Giovanni Scalzi, they were the top three in the B feature. That's how they will line up for their 12 laps for the B feature. So there's some pretty good names there. You also got Parker Price Miller back this year racing. Zeb Wise is in the B feature tonight. Aaron Rutzel. So that number 8 car, so that should be a pretty good race. And then once that's over, we'll see how they line up for the A feature down there tonight at Volusia Speedway. So you got the All-Stars and the World of Outlaws getting things kicked off in the world of dirt racing this week down there at Volusia Speedway. So, Christine,
you know,
that should be exciting. Exciting that this type of racing is starting already.
Yeah, you want to know the downside to one of those names you didn't hear. Now, you know, we talk about the NASCAR guys making, you know, doing the races, doing the dirt. There's a particular driver that's not allowed to race dirt anymore.
Oh, yes. We will, do you want to talk about that now on Talking Dirty? Might as well, huh? It's about dirt racing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand this. I never understood the inner thinkings and mind workings of certain NASCAR owners. I never will. I don't, and I won't. It's just me. But how is it that you're going to take somebody that's very good at dirt racing, extremely good? Now, I can tell you guys, it's nothing to do with Kyle Larson, so, I mean, he's still going to win 1,800 races this year on dirt. But it baffles me that Joe Gibbs is essentially, you know, keeping, you know, Christopher Bell away from dirt racing. And then you come to find out the only reason he was allowed to do it at all was because of the other Gibbs. Like, I just don't understand why. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. How is it any different? He's going to get hurt one way or another in a race car, whether it's in the NASCAR car or a sprint car car.
Right, because we didn't see anybody get any concussions or have to sit out for any amount of time last year in NASCAR.
Not at all.
No. Mm-mm.
I don't know. I don't understand it. I never will.
I think the problem is...
I think it's just got to do with ignorance is what it is, more so than anything. You're ignorant to the sport.
Well, I mean, if you had like, say, Monster was on board with somebody racing dirt, you wouldn't see a NASCAR owner. So, I mean, you know, Gibbs tell Christopher Bell, I don't want to race on dirt at all, period. What's Christopher Bell going to do? He's under contract. You know, he's making money in NASCAR. So, you know what I mean? It's tough. It's tough to tell somebody like that. I mean,
just dumb.
You know, it is. It is, but I guarantee that if Joe Gibbs could make money on Christopher Bell running dirt, he wouldn't have a problem with it. So it's not that
pretty sure he
these owners,
could if he did it right. I mean,
well,
I don't foresee how I don't see how Rick Hendrick is making money on certain drivers doing it. Maybe Kyle Larson, but you just mentioned Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman barely gets out of the B main, and most of the times he runs the dirt car, which is no knock to him. He's, you know, he's never really, which is weird he's doing it because he's usually always been he's always been the owner, not actually racing. So the fact he decided to race the past couple years, it's been a little okay, different from me, but I mean, to each its own, but hey, he's giving it a whirl, which I give Rick Hendrick credit. He finally is, you know, opened his eyes and his mind to it. And I don't know if that has a lot to do with Jeff Gordon being there, which it very well could.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's just dumb.
I just think, yeah, it is. It is. So
I don't
know.
Agree with
hopefully,
Joe Gibbs, but.
Maybe, you know, maybe this will be Christopher Bell's way of getting out of Joe Gibbs in the next couple of years as well. I can see.
I mean,
I can see him
if the
going
sponsors
to
keep leaving. Then yeah, I mean, he's gonna have no choice. I mean,
right.
You know,
I could see Christopher Bell. I could see Christopher Bell eventually ending up at Stuart Haas Racing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But
he's
who
young.
Would be out?
He's got – well, you figure Eric Almirola ain't got – obviously isn't going to be around
well,
much longer.
Well, it's last year, I think.
Right. And I know that they've
well,
got
maybe,
somebody
I
in line
know.
To take his place, but you got
who?
Kevin Harvick. You got Kevin
Wait,
Harvick
who's
retiring.
Taking over
the I'm just saying SHR, they've got connections to the Xfinity series, clearly.
Well, they have
I mean,
connections
who's,
to everybody, but.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm just saying,
we'll
I think SHR is going to be somewhere Christopher Bell ends up within the next few years with his young talent. I mean, he's young. He can obviously win in a race car. And Joe Gibbs is on the decline. Joe Gibbs Racing is on. I think Stuart Haas Racing still has a very good equipment. I think they struggled the last couple of years with talent behind the wheel, and I think that's kind of come down on Kevin Harvick, and I think maybe that's another reason he is leaving. But I don't. I think SHR is still a top team that can win a championship, and I think Christopher Bell is going to land there in the next couple of years. So.
What is exciting since we, you know, you literally just jumped from one topic, well, like one guy to the next, which is great. Who else is excited that Kevin Harvick will be in the booth next year? Because, I mean, I'm excited for that.
That's, I think that's going to be, I think that'll be
I think it's
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Because he's great. He knows his stuff. He's very knowledgeable. I like when he's there, and he's going to be with Clint.
Right.
So, I mean, why not? Old teammates
yeah.
together once again. Do it.
I think I think this is a good thing to keep, you know, as these drivers retire. Because, you know, Darryl, I loved listening to Darryl Waltrip as a commentator, but he had been
you
out
did?
Of a race car. I didn't mind. I didn't mind Darryl Waltrip. He didn't bother me. Car for so long, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was that
you got Dale Jordan, or you got Dale Jr. You've got Jeff Gordon, you've got Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer. These guys that
Jeff
have
Burton.
Been Jeff Burton. He's been out of a car for a while, but I think he's. I mean, he's still. But you got these guys that have just been retiring over the last couple of years who know these cars very well. So, you know, when Darryl Waltrip says, oh, you know, the wind aero package on this guy, and you got Dale Jr. like, no, that's not really how it is, you know. So
right.
I think it's good getting these guys in that have retired within the last couple of years because they actually know what they're talking about with this car and can actually call the race and analyze because they know this car.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun because I think it's going to help Clint. I mean, right now, I think just this the fact that he doesn't have – Jeff Gordon there anymore, and it's just I don't know. Sometimes Clint by himself is too much to handle.
No, stop it.
Never, right? Yeah,
right.
So
right.
We'll see. I think it's great. I liked it. I mean, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, we saw a lot of interesting
Kevin
this weekend.
So. I didn't get to see much. You know, I had to work, so they called me an extra Sunday, so I didn't get to watch the race, but kind of glad I didn't now. We'll circle back to NASCAR here in a minute. So dirt racing starting this week. You got the All-Stars, the World of Outlaws mm-hmm. down at Volusia. The All-Stars will then be at East Bay next week in Tampa for a couple of days. So if you're down in that, down in Florida for anything, or you live down there, you're vacationing and you want to catch a race or see some racing already in February and don't want to spend hundreds of dollars to go to NASCAR, you can check out the All-Stars or the World of Outlaws at Volusia and East Bay over the next couple weeks. So check that out. Exciting that is starting, because that just means starting from the south and working its way north, we will start getting into this warmer weather and we'll start seeing more and more small town short tracks opening up. Tracks like Midvale, Wayne County Speedway, Jennerstown Speedway, Lernerville, you know, these tracks will start opening. You know, we'll start having all of these start opening up here soon, and the racing will be starting. That is very exciting, Christina. We cannot stress enough, right? Every show we can, we stress enough to check out your local small town short tracks.
Yep, it's the heartbeat of racing. It really is. That's why, do you think certain tracks are coming back into NASCAR now? They were dirt tracks at one point.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, we can't stress enough the grassroots of racing. And we'll come back to NASCAR. We'll talk about NASCAR. We'll talk about the clash at the Coliseum on Sunday. And we'll talk to some other stuff I want to talk about with NASCAR. But first, let's go ahead and just take a quick one-minute break. We'll get some sponsorships in here. We'll play a commercial. Then when we come back, we'll talk about Super Bowl 57. Christine, I got some stats for you. You know me, I'm a stats guy. I got some stats for you about the Super Bowl, the teams playing, and we'll talk about all that right after this. So keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fast Lane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
Fishing Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com today. Check out their website. You get custom-made outdoor apparel for you or your team or your business, whatever it may be, check out HardcoreFishingGameToday.com, HardcoreFishingGame.com. Also, check out Barbasol.com. Thank you to Barbasol. The Barbasol Shea phone lines are open the entire show. That number is 657-383-1903. That is the Barbasol Shea phone line number to call the entire show. All right, this upcoming Sunday, Christina, is Super Bowl 57 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Hopefully all of your rowdy friends are coming over for a little Super Bowl party. I don't know who does Super Bowl parties anymore. I'll probably be working, so no Super Bowl parties for me. You'll be partying with Mickey Mouse. You'll be over at the key house having a Super Bowl party.
Pretty much.
With the mouse.
Pretty much. Yes.
So we've got Super Bowl 57. Christine, I'm going to throw some numbers at you real quick, and then we'll get your take on the AFC NFC championship games. We'll talk to you about who you think win. We'll talk about the final championship game of the 2022 Fastlane Sports Show NFL Pick'em Challenge League. Man, Christina, you and I didn't make it. We didn't make it to the championship.
I lost on a technicality. I lost by a stupid tiebreaker that, I'm disappointed.
I'm definitely going to change it up next year.
Redo it. Because I lost on a technicality.
Especially for the playoffs, we're going to do something a little different. I got some stuff I'll run by you that we'll do different next year.
Don't worry. He didn't cheat for me to win, because obviously if he did, I would still be in it. So the fact that we're going to change it up, it doesn't have to do with just me.
No.
Jeremy lost on the technicality as well.
If I was cheating for anybody, it'd be you and me in the championship for everything, NASCAR, NFL, everything. But no, we don't do
that.
And
it never happens.
Never, ever, ever. I've never won anything, and it's my own daggum show. So anyway, we've got Super Bowl 57 coming up this Sunday, February, 12th? I think it's at 6:30,
I think
the game.
I think it's the 12th, right?
Yeah, it's Sunday.
12th. They changed it. I don't like this extra week. This extra week throws me all off.
So this will be, this game will be in Arizona again this year. Here's some stats. Well, because it's nice out there, I guess. I don't know. Here's some stats
for
you, Christina. This will be Kansas City's fifth Super Bowl that they have been in. All right. They are 2-2 in Super Bowls so far. The first Super Bowl, they lost the first Super Bowl in 1967, literally the very first Super Bowl. They lost to Green Bay 35-10. They beat Minnesota in 1970, 23-7. They beat San Fran in 2020, 31-20. And then they lost last year to Tampa Bay, 31-9. So that is Kansas City's Super Bowl. For L.A., New Orleans, Miami, and Tampa Bay. This will be Philadelphia's fourth Super Bowl that they have been in. They are 1-2 in Super Bowls. They lost in 1981 in New Orleans to Oakland, 27-10. Oakland, by the way, that Super Bowl, they were the first wild card team to make it and win the Super Bowl that year. So congrats to them. 2005 in Jacksonville, the Eagles lost to New England, 24-21. And then Philadelphia got their first Super Bowl win in Miami in Minneapolis in 2018.
Yeah, it wasn't in Miami.
Yeah, it was in Minneapolis. In 2018, they beat the Patriots 41-33 to get their first Super Bowl win. Now,
with a backup quarterback.
Philadelphia, this will be their third different opponent in four Super Bowls. They've never played Kansas City, obviously, in the Super Bowl. Kansas City, this will be their fifth Super Bowl and their fifth different opponent. They've played a different team every Super Bowl now that they've been in. So that's pretty interesting. This is the first time either team has played each other four. And this is also the first time either of these teams have played in Arizona for a Super Bowl. This is only the fourth Super Bowl in Arizona, Christina. There's only been three other Super Bowls in Arizona. The first one was in Tempe in 1996. The Cowboys beat Pittsburgh 27-17. That was Super Bowl 30. 2008, Super Bowl 42, the Giants beat the Patriots 17-10. That was at Glendale. And then 2015, Super Bowl 49, the Patriots beat the Seahawks 28-24. That was also in Glendale. So only three Super Bowls in Arizona. Most of them, if you look back at the history of Super Bowls, I mean, most of them have been in California, Florida, some domes sprinkled out through, you know, Minneapolis, New Orleans, Detroit hosted one. You know, but mostly California and Florida have hosted most Super Bowls. So very interesting to see these two teams playing each other for the first time for a Super Bowl and both playing for the first time in Arizona. So with all of that said, let's start with the NFC Championship game, Christina. Wasn't as good or close to the AFC. I thought it was still a good showing for Philadelphia in that. And you know, everybody's like, oh, the 49ers were down to their fifth-string quarterback, couldn't even throw the ball. But, I mean, the quarterback wasn't out there on defense. He wasn't playing against the Phillies' offense. So I don't really see that as an excuse.
I think had Brock Purdy not get hurt in the very first play, the very first drive of that game, the atmosphere of that game would have been a lot different. Not taking anything away from Philadelphia. They've been a top team all year. But I just think for San Francisco, him getting hurt, that literally the first play, first drive of the game, they just took everything out of them. It didn't matter if it was offense or defense. The game was okay. I think it would have been better had, you know, he not got hurt, obviously. It would have been, I think, a lot better of a game to watch. Did I still watch it? Yeah, I still watched it. But, I mean, it wasn't as bad as the other game. I'll just put it that way. The play, like the penalties and stuff, were pretty, you know, evenly matched. What was needed to be called was called in that game. So, I mean, that game was of the better of the two. I'll get into it when we talk about the next one. But I just think Philly didn't have a lot. They weren't pressured. The defense didn't show up. And I don't know how. I still don't know how San Francisco's defense was ranked as good as it was. I really don't. But I'm not. Y'all are more into the football than I am. So the fact I just didn't understand why I kept saying the number one defense and the number two defense. Well, San Francisco's defense didn't even look like a top five defense during that game. So, I mean, the same. Yeah, just didn't see it, and San Francisco, unfortunately, went packing.
Yes, they did. So I obviously am an Eagles fan. And
sort of.
I was I'm an Eagles fan. I'm 50-50. I'll split it down the middle. I'm 50-50.
Okay. I'll accept that.
Okay.
I'll accept you saying one or the other. You have to do both because you talk about both. We'll do it that way.
50-50. Eagles, Bengals. So I was super. Oh, this was finally. I've waited my entire, since I was a kid, to see Philadelphia and Cincinnati play each other, and I was that close. But I thought the NFC game, obviously, you know, Philly won by, you know, I mean, they handled the 49ers.
It was literally an onslaught. There was nothing. I mean,
yeah.
There was zero competition in that game. That's why, I mean, I didn't mind the game. I just would have preferred, I don't know, more something. Jesus, that was like, okay,
well,
I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah, I mean, if you were a San Fran fan, obviously you were devastated.
I wasn't a fan either.
Well, what I'm saying is if you were a San Fran fan, obviously you were devastated. It was a terrible game. If you were a Philly fan, it was the best game. You know, yeah, you freaking routed the 49ers. You sent them packing. You crushed them. If you weren't a fan of either team, a game like that with Philadelphia getting out the way they did and kind of, in a way, blowing out 49ers, it was probably a crap. Exciting. Now,
Do we have to talk about this one?
We do. So listen, I was telling the wife, you know, there's obviously people that are not Cincinnati fans, whether they're Chiefs fans or not, you know.
I'm not even a Cincinnati fan, and I have opinions about this game.
Right. Well, these people that are, oh, you can't blame the refs. You guys had many chances to win.
Bullshit.
Or you missed plays. So here, this is what I told the wife. I've been following football, obviously, since I could walk. So when you have a team that is getting penalized the way they are throughout the entire game from the beginning, it's hard to build any momentum. So, yes, did the Cincinnati Bengals have a few plays that they missed that might have been their fault? You know, receiver dropped the ball.
Maybe.
Overthrown pass, a missed block. You know, a few sacks at the beginning of the game. Yes. But at the same time, those couple of missed plays, when you are getting penalized the way you are, it takes the entire momentum out of your team, out of the atmosphere, out of your momentum on a drive that you could potentially score on. Any moment takes that out of you, and it's hard to come back from that mentally. And as a team, so yes, it is very easy for refs to manipulate and control a game by throwing flags at certain times. So yes, did the Bengals have some misplays? Yes. But some of the penalties that were called and thrown did not help at all.
Okay. All right. So I am not a fan of it, either team. Everybody should know this by now. I don't have a favorite football team. I mean, the people I used to follow are since retired. So this is my opinion. You can't – the NFL is rigged to a degree. Almost all sports are. It's the fact of the matter. The nature of the beast, it is what it is, and we'll never control that fact. That game was so blatantly, obviously one-sided. It was absolutely ridiculous and shameful to the NFL. And then you come to find out 2 days later that the head referee's son came into a shit ton of money because he bet on the Chiefs to win that game in the manner they did. I call bullshit. I'm sorry. There was no way Cincinnati was going to win that game going into it the way that it was spoke of in pregame, everything else. The only thing you talked, it didn't matter. And it's unfortunate because the team that should be in the Super Bowl is not. They're sitting freezing their asses off in an off-season in the cold weather or maybe vacationing where it's warmer. But I don't give two flying cahooties about Patrick Mahomes. I don't. I don't find him entertaining to watch. Maybe that's just me. I just don't like his attitude. I don't like a lot about him. So it is what it is. And then all weekend you kept hearing, oh, will we get brother versus brother? Of course you're going to get brother versus brother when that's all you freaking talk about. Good for Travis Kelce and whatever his name is for the Eagles. I can't remember his name. I don't know why. He's the one I can't remember. Yeah, but see, that's the difference. I don't remember his name because he didn't run his mouth. He's not a jackass. It's just, it was blatantly obvious. There's bad calls. How are you going to tell a defender that's literally running full force not to hit somebody? I'm sorry. That is some of the dumbest rule I have ever heard in my entire life. You might as well play the damn Pro Bowl all year long. Just say, put some flags on the bitches and be done. Because that's what we got. I'm not happy with it. I think it was one of the worst officiated games I have ever watched. And I'm not a fan of either team. I could care less either team. But do I think Joe Burrows and the Cincinnati Bengals got robbed? I do. 110% got robbed. That's the God honest truth. And no one's going to change my opinion. I have seen terrible officiating in the NHL. Yes. Clear as day, bad officiating there as well. But to the extent of that, that was bad. I'm sorry, but that all year, these NFL refs have been terrible. And now you know, we only heard about this whole gambling thing once now. But the kid was the head referee's bet on the game and this and that. Now, and came in a lot of money. You only heard about it that one time. Tell me that's not a cover-up. I'm sorry. It's just bad. Joe Burrow's got screwed. Joe Cool should be in the Super Bowl. It's that simple. I'm sorry. Patrick Mahomes, meh. I don't.
Well. Well,
so,
I mean, it's,
that
it's,
being said, I will tell you I'm rooting for the Eagles to win.
Well, good. Good. I like to hear that. I will be rooting for Philadelphia as well. But with the championship games over, with Kansas City and Philly in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57 will be February 12th. And that game, I believe, like I said, is at 6:30 on Fox. That game will be on Fox this year. So Sunday, February 12th, 6:30, game on Fox. Chiefs versus the Eagles, number one in their respective conference. As of right now, the Eagles have a 1.5-point favorite, and the over-under is at 50.5. So, now, for our league, we have Tristan.
It doesn't matter.
We have Tristan versus Craig. And here's how they're going to have to pick, for this game. Now this game will have, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different things that they are going to have to pick, Christina. I'm trying this for this game because I'm going to see how this has to work, how we're going to do the playoffs for next year. It's going to be point-based. So you have to pick the winner of the game, obviously. You think Eagles or the Chiefs will win. If you get the winner right, if you pick the winner, you get 10 points. You have to pick what you think the total points will be for the game. If you get that right, if you pick the exact total points of the game, you will get 8 points. Whoever's closest, if neither one of them hits the exact amount, whoever's closest will get 5 points. You got to pick the coin toss winner. If you pick the correct coin toss winner, you'll get 5 points. And then you have to pick whether you think the coin toss winner will kick or receive. Are they going to kick off or are they going to receive for winning the coin toss? If you get that right, you get 8 more points. And then will the Eagles cover the spread? Right now the spread is 1.5. Eagles are a 1.5 favorite. If you think the Eagles will cover that, and they do, you'll get 5 points. The over-under is at 50.5. So if you get that right, if you pick the over or under and you get it right, you'll get another 5 points. So if you get everything right, you have a potential of what? 5, 10, 15, 20, 46 points. You score 46 points if you get every single one right. So we'll see how this goes. If this works for this game, we're going to do a points system next year for the playoffs, and then that way everybody has a chance on scoring points and advancing in the playoffs that way, instead of just your picks being, you know, going off of your picks. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it plays out. So I'll be posting that in our NFL Pick'em League page on Facebook for those guys to start that. So that's the NFL, Christina. That's the Super Bowl coming up Sunday. Philadelphia versus Kansas City, Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. I'm sure I'll be working.
Anybody but the Chiefs. Just saying.
All right. The Barbasol Shea phone line number to call is 657-383-1903. If you want to weigh in on the AFC or NFC or both championship games, that's the number to call. Barbasol Shea phone line, 657-383-1903. That is the number to call. Christina, 1 minute break, we'll get Barbasol commercial on. And when we come back in the last 5 minutes, talking about NASCAR, and we'll get your penalty box pick, and we'll find out who your ballsiest player of the week is this week. So keep it tuned right here, Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We are live from the 357 Woodwork Studios, and we are presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Here is Barbasol.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
All right, welcome back to the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. I'm your host, Pete. I am joined by Christina, as I am on every show, except when she leaves me to go to Disney World and hang out with Mickey Mouse. And then I have to do the show all by myself. And so it's always in the winter when it's cold, and I got to hear and see pictures about her down there hanging out with Mickey and Minnie and everything else. So.
Well, if you would just do what I tell you to do every winter, but you don't listen to me. I mean, it did take me 15 years to get you to a racetrack, so I mean, I'm not shocked.
Correct. You're over-exaggerating there.
I am not. It's been 15 years. It took me 15 years.
Anyway. NASCAR officially kicked off Sunday, 2 days ago, in Los Angeles for the Busch Clash. The Busch Light Clash was in Los Angeles again for the second year in a row. And I'm glad I didn't watch. I'm glad I had to work because I probably would have thrown something at the TV anyway.
Pray tell why.
You know why. Don't even make me say it.
I want to hear you say it for the public.
I don't
to hear you say
like
it.
Martin Truex Jr. The Barbasol Chevy phone line number to call is 657-383-1903. I don't care for him at all. Whatever.
I mean,
he had
off-season drama, so I mean, what better way than to win the first race that you didn't or barely qualify for last year? So, I mean.
And now that's gonna,
I'm just saying. I'm just playing devil's advocate here because it's fun
now,
for me and I can do that.
And that's going to be the story. Thing that's happened in your life and you're still able to drive a car into victory line. All that's so wonderful. Oh, we love you, Martin Truex Jr.
Kind of think it's hysterical. I love your hate for him. I don't understand it. I've never understood it. Don't ask folks because you're never going to get like the full story on it because he just doesn't like Martin Truex Jr.
I don't, and I will never publicly admit why. And it's between me and Martin. It's between him and I. Yes, we're on first name basis. He calls me Pete. I call him Martin. I don't even know the guy. I don't hate him. I just strongly dislike him
as a driver. But it's fine. I hate a lot of things in life. I hate a lot of people in life. I mean, it happens.
So I'm going to go off on a little rant here, and I want your opinion
on this,
Christina. So, you know,
I don't think you want my opinion on anything.
I want your opinion on everything. That's why you're my wonderful co-host. So as most people might know who follow racing, for those of you who don't know, who haven't been paying attention or haven't
lived under a rock.
Over the last, what would you say, Christina, 5 or 6 years, NASCAR's been on this huge grassroots kick, right? They've been pushing grassroots racing. Yeah, they have the whole NASCAR thing that they have the small town short tracks like Jennerstown. They are part of the NASCAR grassroots whatever bullcrap it is. So NASCAR wants to push grassroots racing. They want to focus on the small town short tracks where racing starts, where you've got your weekend warrior. He works by the week, you know, he's got a blue collar job. And then on the weekend, he spends all that hard earned money on his race car just to go out and have a little fun. Right. So they pushed that, but they also last year for the first Busch Light Clash in Los Angeles, it was because they wanted to reach out to a new market and a market that most people don't associate with NASCAR, Los Angeles. Let's be honest. That's good. Okay. I commend NASCAR for doing that. You went to Los Angeles. You got the Coliseum, an iconic, world famous football stadium, sports market. You did some things that have never been done before. Awesome. Awesome. You did it again for the second year in a row. You went back to Los Angeles. So here's my beef, Christina. They want to push grassroots racing. They want to push the small town short tracks. They want to push reaching out to new markets and different viewers, whether
right.
it be who you are, your age, or whatever. Then why are we going to have the Bush Clash in Los Angeles every single year? This is what you need to do, NASCAR. Rather than spending millions and millions, however many millions of dollars it costs you to build a racetrack, a half mile, whatever it is, racetrack inside of a football stadium, why don't you go to, I don't know, the thousands of small town short track asphalt tracks across the entire country and move the Clash to a different racetrack, a small town short track racetrack every year, and reach out to some fans that don't get a NASCAR race. New Mexico, Louisiana, you've got multiple. I mean, you've got, I bet you have a thousand racetracks you can pick from that are in a warm climate for February, because obviously we can't go to North Dakota and race the Busch Light Clash in the beginning of February in North Dakota, because there's like 17 feet of snow up there right now. So we can't do that, but there are racetracks.
I mean, you could try.
But I'm sure there are thousands of racetracks across the warmer part of this country, Washington State, Oregon, where NASCAR doesn't go, and those people have to watch a race on TV, or they have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on race tickets, airlines, and hotels just to go to a NASCAR race. Why don't we move the Busch Light Clash to a half mile, three quarter mile paved small town short track, and push your grassroots racing and push your reaching out to new markets by doing that instead of going to Los Angeles every single year? Because I didn't see it, but from what I heard, the attendance and the reception to this race this year was nothing like it was last year.
Yeah.
I think you've been there 2 years now, NASCAR. I think we need to start looking ahead and going, it shouldn't be in Los Angeles again. Not next year, not in the next 5 years. You need to move it. You want to preach and push grassroots racing, then actually practice what you preach and go to some small town short tracks. There's plenty of three quarter or mile paved tracks across this country you could go to and reach out to some new people. Do that and promote these tracks that, quite honestly, Christina, are failing every year. We see hundreds of tracks closing every year because people aren't going to the races on the weekends anymore. Either it costs too much, price of gas, taking, you know, you got two, three, four kids that you got to take. Sometimes tracks don't let kids in for free, so you're spending $100, $200 at a racetrack. You need to entice people to go. Here you go, right. NASCAR. Here's your chance to promote grassroots racing like you want to and start moving the Busch Light Clash to a beautiful racetrack. No, it doesn't hold 25,000 people, but if you
doesn't
get
matter.
People,
you didn't get 25,000 people to go to the one you just did.
Yeah, I know. But you can still pack that track and you can promote that track because now they'll be on national TV. They'll be on Fox Sports because they're hosting a NASCAR race. They've got a beautiful infield. I think that's what NASCAR needs to do. And that's my take. What do you think, Christina? Is that feasible? Is that smart? Should they just keep the Busch Light Clash in Daytona like they've done for 30 years before the Daytona 500 and everything else, Speed Weeks, all of that in one spot? What do you think?
No. It's just like the All-Star race. It's, which is fine. Move it around and do something different. My attention span was quite short-lived with this one until they started to get rowdy, which we'll talk about in a little bit as well. But, I mean, I'm going to say it. The only reason it's in L.A. was to appease a certain amount of section of people that were complaining that NASCAR is not inclusive and this and that. I mean, I can get that to a degree if that's what you want to say, whatever. The difference is we've done it. It's boring. All you're doing is tearing up a race car. Because that's what happened. A lot of tore up race cars. A lot of people are already pissed off and we haven't even gotten to Daytona yet. Like, I get that. So move it somewhere else. Do something different. It's just like Championship Weekend. They took it from Homestead, right? So
mm-hmm.
they were going to move it around.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't moved shit. It went to Phoenix and it sucked the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not learning anything, and that's the problem. Until you get different people in NASCAR management, this is what we're stuck with. And
yeah,
that's just an unfortunate situation that we all are paying for.
And I get it also, racing can't be ran in certain weather. There's several rule changes.
We'll talk about
here in a second because we'll talk about the rule changes, Christina. But I get it. February.
I look forward to this.
February 5th in North Dakota or Montana, even Ohio.
Then run it down here. Then run it down here on one of the asphalt tracks at Hendry Motorsports. Like, run it here. Hendry has a track. There's other places. It's just NASCAR always has an excuse and takes the... they always take the way out, and they don't even try. That's the problem. And that's why a lot of people left the sport in general. There's no accountability. You make up the rules as you go.
I get it. There's certain parts of the country you can't run in because it's either just too cold. People aren't going to sit in 10 degree weather to watch a race. I get that. But for the right price, I might too. If it's only $10 a ticket, I'll go. I got plenty of warm weather clothes. I work outside. I've got plenty of clothes. I can bundle up. But from Washington State down the West Coast and across the bottom half of the country, I mean, there's, like I said, I don't have the exact numbers. I haven't done the exact research. But I am sure there are thousands of asphalt tracks that are considered grassroots small town short tracks that NASCAR can go to. Again, granted, they might not hold even 10 in the bleachers. And you could almost set up bleachers off of turn two, over there. They've got plenty of protection fencing. I mean, you could probably put another 2,000 people over there. I mean, you can get 10,000 people at Jennerstown if you did it right. So, and then plus you're getting these tracks national attention by putting them on national network. The Busch Light Clash, the All-Star Race, and the Championship Weekend Race, all three of those should be moved every single year.
Every year.
Christina, I'd even be okay with if they even did the Busch Light Clash, the All-Star Race, and the Championship Race like, you know, at the same NASCAR track in that year. So, like, let's say they picked North Wilkesboro. So North Wilkesboro for that year, instead of having a points race, they would have the Busch Light Clash. They would have the All-Star race, and they would have the championship series, the championship race at their track. You know what I mean? So they're getting three races. Two of them are just, you know, for fun races, and then they get the championship race. You know, even something like that. But it needs to be moved, Chicago Street Race. That's not reaching out to a new market. We ran at Chicago, Chicagoland Speedway for, what, 10, 12 years in a row? That's the same market. You're just going back. So, you know what I mean?
You're just making it look different.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going back to the same market. It's just a different style race. So I don't know. I think it should be moved. All three of those races should be moved every year, whether you pick a NASCAR track and you say, okay, you guys are going to have the Busch, the Clash, the All-Star race, and the championship race. That's it. You're not going to have any other race all year. You're going to have those three races, which are three premier races. I mean, if you get it at the right track, a lot of people might tune in and watch the Clash or the All-Star race. And people are definitely going to watch the championship race because it's a championship race. So I think that's something they need to do something. So let's talk about some of the new rules in NASCAR before we talk about some other drivers and stuff. So the first one, the big one that sticks out to me is the whole losing a wheel. We all know the last couple of years, Christina, if a car loses a wheel, you're $75,000. Like, all this stupid stuff for losing a wheel. Well, now the new rule, Christina, is if a wheel comes off a car while the car is still on pit road, the car restarts at the tail end of the field. If it comes off a car while it's on pit road under green, it's just a pass-through penalty. Once you leave pit road and you lose a wheel, that car loses a wheel on track.
That's when you get suspended.
Right. You'll be penalized two laps and two pit crew members suspended for two races. And it'll go to the two pit crew members that were direct responsible for that wheel. But, you know, a lot of these teams, they use the same crews for Xfinity Series, the Truck Series, Cup Series.
Oh, I guarantee you that changes now.
Now, if you have a Xfinity crew that they lose a wheel on a car in the Xfinity Series race, that crew member is not suspended for the Cup race. He's only suspended that series that he's working in when the penalty happens. So just to be clear, teams, under 40 teams, especially if they have an Xfinity car and a Cup car, it's the same crew. So if that crew, you know, gets suspended for the Xfinity series, it's only for the Xfinity series, not the Cup series as well. So what do you think? I like this. It's about time. The crew chief has nothing to do with the wheel coming off. He should not be getting fined, first of all. And second of all, being suspended. Yes, yeah, suspended for four races? He had nothing to do. He didn't put the tire on. Why is he getting suspended for four races? I can see back maybe when we were using five lug nuts, you know, the crew chief come on and say, hey, only put two on. Only put two on. Let's get out of here. Let's go. Make it a quick one. Only put two on. But you only have one lug nut now. He has nothing to do with that. So I think this was a good change.
I agree. I mean, there was good changes made in the off season to the points. I mean, to like the rules and certain rules and everything. So, I mean, this one was definitely one that needed to be changed. And it's for the better. Now we'll see how it's utilized when racing starts, because we all know we enjoy having rules, and then we enjoy changing them midway through a race. So we'll see.
Yeah. The second one, the next one, Christina, has to do with the damaged vehicle policy clock. It was increased 10 minutes during this past season's playoffs, but this year it will go from the 6-minute rule to the 7-minute. So they're adding a minute to the damaged vehicle policy, giving these crews another minute. I mean, I guess I'm assuming they went back and looked at data and seen that some of these crews could have had it fixed right after the 6 minute mark. So they figured we'll give you one more minute. I feel like this is going to be 10 minutes here after this year. It'll be permanently 10 minutes after this year because a lot of these, this newer car is having, you know, some issues anyway, but with the new sheet metal and everything, I think it'll be 10 minutes here soon.
I can't wait till there's no more damage clock policy and you can just run what you brought. Bring me back
like,
to that.
Yeah, like we used to, you mean? Yeah.
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 Bring me back to that.
Teams can replace tow links on pit road, but not control arms. This is part of the same damaged vehicle policy rule.
But wasn't that the same rule last year?
With the tow links and the control arms?
Yeah.
I think so. They're just stating that, again, your team can replace tow links on pit road, but not control arms. Also, teams are not permitted to have specialized repair tools in the pits. Whatever. Okay.
Well, that's because we have people that like to cheat, which we saw at the clash, too. So we'll talk about that one, too.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Christina, stop. All right, this next rule change, I know you like. I know you love this one. NASCAR will have a wet weather package for select oval tracks. Those tracks are this past Sunday, the Clash at Los Angeles, Lucas Oil Raceway Park, Martinsville, Milwaukee, New Hampshire, North Wilkesboro, Phoenix, and Richmond. Those tracks, teams will be able to bring the wet weather tires with them, which they have brought in the past to road courses. So we're going to try this on some of these. Now, if you notice some of these tracks, New Hampshire, North Wilkesboro, Martinsville, Phoenix, Richmond, these are small. These are the short tracks. We're not talking about running.
This is not Daytona, folks.
Yeah, we are not running rain tires. I'm sorry, as much as you guys want to see it, they will not run rain tires at Talladega. Yes.
Please, nobody thinks that would be a smart idea. No, this is great news. This is what needed to happen. This is what should have happened years ago.
Yeah.
There's no reason to not have rain tires at certain racetracks. Am I saying have it at Talladega? No, never in my life would I ever suggest we put rain tires. No, somebody will die. No. It's just that would just, thinking about that's giving me anxiety. This is what NASCAR needed to do. Long time ago, they just, they suck at life and they wait forever to do the right thing. But, it's NASCAR. We should be used to this by now. So we're finally getting, I can't wait. Can't wait. Don't ever expect it at Daytona. Don't ever expect it at Talladega. But, finally, something good. I'm waiting to see how big of a shit show it turns into, kind of like Coda did, but we'll see.
Definitely. Again, I was talking to a guy at work. I was telling him about this new rule with the rain tires, and he said, good. He said there's too many people that spend the money on tickets and can't stick around because they got to be at work. So they only have in their budget or in their plans to go for that race. And if it's drained out, they don't get to see a race. So he thinks it's a good idea as well. I think maybe they should do a test, and NASCAR could do it. They need to do a test on the rain tires at Indianapolis on the oval of Indianapolis. I don't know. I know the speeds. I know it'd be high speeds, but it's a flat oval. I mean, there's a little bit of
the package used.
But I think if you could get rain tires to work at Indy, you could run the oval even in the rain. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. It's flat.
Intrigued by that.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's flat like the earth. But, yeah, I mean.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Anyway.
I'm fucking with you. I had to say it. I had
the
to.
Next,
say it.
The next rule. The next rule. NASCAR. This one goes to playoffs. This one involves the playoffs. NASCAR stated that it is removing the requirement that a winning driver be in the top 30 in points.
Yeah, so it can be a shit show.
An Xfinity or trucks come eligible for the playoffs. As long as a driver is competing full time or he has a waiver for the races they missed, a win will make them playoff eligible. This goes back, I strongly believe, this goes back to last year when Brad Keselowski got that huge penalty after Daytona. It put him in that huge hole. He was on the outside of the top 30. Everybody was speculating if he gets a win, will he be in or not? Because he's not in the top 30 in points. I think that's what this is right here. They realized, oh, crap, if we penalize somebody like Brad Keselowski or Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch or somebody like that, and they're on the outside of the top 30 and they get a win and they don't make the playoffs, I think NASCAR was like, oh, crap, we cannot have that happen. So I think that's what this is.
You think they were kind of shitting the bed a little bit, thinking whether or not if he would win a race, what would happen? Because that's what I think.
Yeah. Oh.
What
oh yeah.
Was gonna happen.
Yeah, because
if he would have. Saying if he would have won, shit would have hit the fan. I'm just
there
saying.
There was a couple races. It looked like guys because he could have got a win. I mean, he had a damn good race car. In points, he was still trying to claw back from that hole. So, yeah, I think NASCAR was getting nervous. I think they were sweating quite a bit. So, I think they couldn't wait for the season to be over. I guarantee that was the first one that they looked at. They all sat down and said, okay, I don't care what ideas anybody else has. We are changing the rule. You do not have to be in the top 30 in points. As long as you're competing full-time, you're in the playoffs if you get a win. So, yeah, I most definitely think that's what that is. Plus, I think, too, you've got some teams, you know, like Woods Brothers, some of these other underfunded teams where they show up every single week. But, you know, they're right there maybe on the edge of having a good season. And if they happen to get a win, but they don't have the points, you know, you're not going to tell that team, hey, we know you guys won that race. That's awesome. But you ain't got enough points. We can't let you in. We got to let this guy in because he's more popular and he's more famous. So I think that too, I think they're trying to, you know what I mean? I think they're trying to cover their ass for that too.
I think they're starting to learn there's a lot they can and can't do anymore. And the drivers have really spoken more than they've ever had drivers speak. That's the thing. NASCAR is at a crossroads where they have a generation of drivers that don't shut the hell up. Just saying. So they had to do something because I'm telling you, if Brad Keselowski would have won a race and then not made the playoffs, I'm telling you, it would have been a firestorm.
Yes, most definitely. The next rule change, it says, with the consultation of drivers, NASCAR is expanding the restart zone to give the leader more room to take off. NASCAR said it will evaluate if to keep this in place after the Atlanta race in March. NASCAR stated the choose rule will be in effect now for super speedways and dirt races. So the choose rule will be in effect pretty much every racetrack that NASCAR goes to now. And they're expanding.
And I can't wait for certain drivers to throw a bitch fit and complain, but yet they're the ones that wanted it. Just saying.
Yep.
I hope they remember that.
Now,
dumb idiot.
Or I thought I had, but I don't see it here. Also, for the rules, we are eliminating stages at just the road courses, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. The way it's worded is weird. But, yeah, for now, road courses, there are going to be no more stages. Something about laps or something aren't going to count under caution. You know, so there's a lot of things that aren't going to change because it changes the momentum. It changes the whole outcome of the race. So I think that's a smart idea, finally. I just wish they would go away with it completely. So baby steps, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to... At first, I was like, this is stupid. The stages are stupid. And I know quite a few people who quit watching NASCAR because of stages, but...
Really?
Yes, I do. I know.
Watching racing for various reasons, but that wouldn't have been one of them.
I know several people who quit watching NASCAR altogether because of stages. Because of the stages. I feel like certain tracks, I don't mind it. I feel like it's kind of grown on me. I don't know. I think it depends on the track, though,
because let's be honest. If you're in the middle of a four-car, like, battle for the lead, and then all of a sudden, okay, time for stage break, and everything just dies. Nothing. And then what happens when that shit is boring as hell the rest of the race? Well, you just killed all the momentum, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're
know.
Trying to stop the whole wreckers or checkers, like, the you know, the stuff that doesn't... I get it, last lap, final lap, like, final lap. Not final lap of the stage, but final lap of the race. That, yeah, that's a no-holds barred. Forget about it. Gloves off.
Yeah.
But racing, like destroying somebody's car during a stage for the stage ending just for stage points, that's retarded. But
I
hey,
think,
we're here for
I
wrecks,
think,
right? That's what people are here for now.
I looked at stages as, you know, we went to some racetracks, like let's say Michigan, for example. Michigan was always a fuel mileage race. So you started off, the first 25 laps of Michigan was awesome. Guys were battling it out. But then for 200 laps.
It meant nothing.
No
caution.
There was no cautions at Michigan because that track is so big, so wide, such an oval, so fast that those guys, once they got going, they just ran. And the only time there was any break was green flag pit stops. That was it. And then it would come down to who played the fuel game right and who was running out of fuel in the last 10 laps of the actual race. Then it got exciting again because you're watching cars. Oh, that guy's out of fuel in turn two. You know, and so this guy takes lead. So I think personally what they were trying to do with the stages was – put some excitement in the middle of the race, have guys race for extra points in the middle of the race, racing for a stage win, extra playoff points, extra points for the season in the middle of the race, and give a little more excitement back to the middle of the race rather than you just sitting there for 2.5 hours watching cars go in a circle. You put a little excitement in because guys were actually racing for something in the middle of the race and not just logging laps until the last 20 laps of the race. Kind of what that
right.
was. I think that a little excitement in the middle of the race, you see guys actually racing for some extra points in the middle of the race and not just logging laps. So Yeah, I think some tracks.
Yeah, it's got pros and cons.
Didn't work. Right. Yeah.
Let's be honest. At plate racing, it's literally some of the worst decisions ever made. What they do towards the end of the stage break. Just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not here. I don't watch NASCAR for wrecks. I mean, that's not what we grew up watching. And I mean, I think the problem has come with the new car. A lot of the new car brought a lot of issues. And now you're in a league of drivers that I honestly don't know what they're thinking sometimes. As like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think that had a lot to do with it too. But I'm intrigued. I think this is going to be better for the, I think taking the stages away for the road courses is for the best.
Yeah.
I really do. Because I think it's just going to make it more enjoyable. Give me them battling out and don't take the momentum away.
No, I think, I think at road courses you don't need enough ups and rights, and there's enough drama and there's enough stuff on a road course.
There's enough stupidity on a road course.
You don't need stages for that. All right, so we've only got like 15 minutes left. So the clash at the Coliseum, Martin Truex Jr. got the win. He beat out Austin Dillon and Kyle Busch, who are new teammates now at RCR. So that's going to be interesting to see that for this year.
And Kyle
Bowman
gave him the spot because he said that. So in their post-race interviews, they both said it. Austin Dillon said it too. The thing in the nutshell was, Kyle battled, I don't know, Kyle got wrecked like 5 times in that race. Are we shocked? No. People hate Kyle Busch. But, I mean, so his car wasn't as fast as it was at one point during that race. So he openly said, they're getting along at this point. We'll see how long it lasts. Even the guys in the booth said the same thing. So, I let him go around me. He was faster. If any one of us was going to have a shot at Martin Truex, he said it was going to be Austin Dillon. I don't know what Kyle Busch I don't know. This is not the Kyle Busch we grew up knowing. I mean, but it was the same Kyle Busch because what he said about Joey Logano just tickled my heart, made me love Kyle Busch even more. And I don't like Kyle Busch. So it was interesting, to say the least. But it was a wreck fest. If you needed to be somewhere, or you were on the bubble, so to speak, in your heat race, I felt bad for the cars in front of you and behind you because everybody was getting ran the hell over. The first car out of the race was Eric Jones, and that's because he got ran the hell over by somebody. Just saying. I don't know what happened. And then we saw somebody try to cheat, and it didn't work. So, don't try to cheat. Nothing's changed.
Truex starts off the 2023 season with that win at the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum, beating teammates Austin Dillon, Kyle Busch. Also, teammates Alex Bowman, Kyle Larson. Bowman, who we just talked about, in a dirt car at Volusia this week. Bowman and Larson finished 4th and 5th. Kind of manufacturer teammate of Martin Truex Jr., Tyler Reddick, with 23XI. Probably going to be a stronger and better driver on that team. He finished 6th. Ryan Preece, 7th. Ross Chastain, Denny Hamlin, William Byron were your top 10. They rounded out your top 10. Oh, yeah, I said it. Tyler Reddick will have more wins this year than Bubba Wallace. He will finish higher in the points. He will make the playoffs. While Bubba Wallace, once again, will barely finish top 20 in points, if that. And he'll have a ride for next year. And once again, we'll talk about him all year and all his struggles and everything he has to battle through to be a NASCAR driver.
I'm done.
I think he... So he had a good car, too, you know, to toot his horn just briefly. He did have a good car. I don't know what the hell happened or who he pissed off, but, I mean, he got destroyed. I don't know if it was intentional. That's the thing with the Clash. So this is the thing. We had the Clash. Now we stew for a week because, you know, the NFL screws everything up by having an extra week. So, you know, pushes everything back. So now we're going to wait a week for the Speed Week and Daytona. Now, mind you, you're going to sit and stew for a week of who pissed you off because who hit you harder. Ryan Blaney was already ready to go to fisticuffs during the Clash. I mean, I don't know what switch flipped in Ryan Blaney, but, man, he is ready to no holds barred take a chair to somebody.
I think he wants a championship. He wants a championship.
I think he just wants to win.
He's thirsty and hungry. I think he's thirsty and hungry for a championship.
I think so, too. His teammate pissed off Kyle Busch. I mean, the craziest thing is they sit there in the booth together during the last chance qualifier. And, I mean, I don't know if Joey Logano was trying to petition to be a friend with Kyle Busch or what in the booth. And then on the racetrack, he dumped the guy for, like,
oh boy.
Eight. Okay, for eight. And Kyle Busch is like, yeah, I don't like to be around two-faced people. So, I mean.
Oh, boy.
So
good.
They already have that, which is nothing new. Those two hate each other with an undying passion when it comes to being on the racetrack. So, I mean, that's nothing
right.
new. But
yeah.
It was very interesting. I will tell you this. Noah did very well. Noah didn't turn anybody. You know, everyone wants to put the who's going to be better between the two because they're the two
right.
rookies coming up together. One finished the race. One did not. One didn't have their car catch on fire and then get caught cheating when trying to fix the car. So, I mean, I'm going to take the small win for Legacy Motorsports and say, hey, all right.
Are you going to be here next Tuesday with me? The 14th?
My kid is going to be here.
Okay. So no
14th. My child will be here.
And no 21st.
No. Why no 21st?
I don't know. Are you going to be gone for 2 weeks or just one?
No. I'll be back for the 21st. I'm just gone one
okay.
week.
Okay.
No. I'll be back. I can't. Come on. Daytona 500 show.
Right.
Something
so,
I can miss.
I want to get to the penalty box, but real quick, the next time you'll see NASCAR on the track will be Thursday, February 16th at 7 p.m. That is the Blue Green Vacations Duel 1. And then immediately following that at 9 p.m. will be Duel 2. So the duels
Why
are still at
9 p.m.? What the hell, people?
The
God,
duel...
Some of those fuckers got to work in the morning. Damn it.
The duels will
still
be... Oh,
wait,
be...
no, I'm off that week.
The duels will still be at Daytona. I believe qualifying is Sunday. I believe.
Yeah,
so qualify
I
Sunday.
Believe there's... Yeah,
yep.
I think so, too. And Thursday. It's during the day.
Yeah. And then Daytona 500 will be Sunday, February 19th at 2:30 p.m. will be when they start. And then they will pause for rain and get restarted at midnight. So make sure you hydrate and get enough sleep Sunday because you will be up till about 2 or 3 in the morning to finish watching that race because, you know, it doesn't rain in Florida in February.
Well, so. Yeah. So the bright sign of this may be, let me give you a bright spot here. We may have gotten all the rain already.
Okay, good.
Considering it hadn't rained, we were pretty dry for far too long. So the fact that it literally rains from Saturday to Monday morning may have helped. So we'll see. Maybe Mother Nature will be on our side. But, yeah, I'm excited. Let's go. I'm rooting for, you know, I actually have a favorite now. I can root for a particular person again.
Yeah. And we all know who that is, so.
I'm not biased in the least bit.
Yeah. All right, let me hit the sounder. I have a suggestion for the penalty box, but I want to hear yours. So, all right.
Let's go.
Okay, here we go. All right, for those first-time listeners or those who haven't listened in a while, that is the sounder for the penalty box. This is Christina's favorite part. This is where she takes the sports knucklehead of the week and throws them into the penalty box. All week long, you can submit your suggestions on our Facebook page, Fastlane Sports Show. You can find us on Facebook on the pages, and you can join that. And then submit your suggestions. Christina, I have a suggestion, and I'm only doing this because of Jeremy, but I suggest we throw LeBron James for being a stuck-up, arrogant douchebag and thinking that he is the greatest ever, and he is nuts, the greatest ever. And so, yeah, that's my suggestion. So who do you have?
Okay, first off, who is LeBron James? No, I'm teasing. I know who he is, guys. I'm being a smartass. How much I care. Yeah, that's okay. He can go in a penalty box because, I mean, I don't know a lot about basketball, but don't you actually got to play through injury to be one of the greatest to ever be? Because I'm sorry, but he don't play through injury.
Just look at my Facebook. I pointed out some good stats earlier. So, but yeah.
No, that's okay. Basketball to me is a lower tiered sport in the you know, in professional sports. They get paid the most and do the least of whatever. That's a totally different show. So yeah, he can sit in the penalty box because anything that comes out of his mouth is dumb too. He's one of those. So I also want to throw Juju McSchuster in a penalty box.
Okay.
I want to know where the hell he had a cheesesteak that was better than Philadelphia cheesesteak. Boy.
Oh, boy.
Boy, you don't play for Pittsburgh anymore. Quit being a douchebag. I mean, you're playing for a Super Bowl caliber team now. Act like it. Freaking fool.
Right.
Stupid. He can sit in the penalty box, and I hope that causes the Chiefs to lose the Super Bowl. You're welcome, Eagles fans. And then also on top of that, then I'm going to throw the NFL Referees Association, if there is one, in the penalty box. If there isn't one, there needs to be one because legitimately the worst officiating I've ever seen. And whoever thought that flag football should be the Pro Bowl needs to go hide under a rock. It was the stupidest damn thing I ever seen in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen a lot of stupid shit in my life, and that took the cake. Grown-ass men making millions of dollars. Millions of dollars, folks. More than we'll ever see in our little tiny lifetime playing flag freaking football.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Retard.
Yep.
Just dumb. Plain old dumb. So nobody in NASCAR made the list this week. That's a plus. Okay, we got 1 week of NASCAR in and ain't nobody sitting in a penalty box for stupid shit said. So that's a plus for NASCAR. You want my feel good now? Whatever.
Who's your ballsiest player of the week?
That comes from the NHL, and if you've lived and you didn't know, it was All-Star Weekend, and it was here in South Florida, literally.
Hmm.
It was amazing. It was a great week and a half to see. I loved it. It was enjoyable. And some of the Panthers players were in the All-Star game. And Matthew Tkachuk is that player, the ballsiest player, my guy. That's my guy. And give him MVP all the time because he showed up. Yes, I know it's 3-on-3 hockey. It's not defense was not there. That's fine. I get that. But he had a hat trick, some other stuff. It was crazy. So then the All-Star game was Saturday. They practiced Sunday. They played last night. For those folks that are keeping track with hockey, the Panthers played a rivalry last night in the Tampa Bay Lightning and destroyed them 7-1, mind you. And Matthew Tkachuk led the way for the Florida Panthers with a 5-point night. Literally, it was a 7-1 tromping, and the Panthers took it. So Matthew Tkachuk is my ballsiest player of the week. I like it.
Well, good.
Probably got big balls, too. I don't know. anyone an SUV and gave it to his grandparents. So when he won the All-Star MVP, won a SUV and he gave it to his grandparents. So
nice. That's
even cooler for the kid.
Yeah.
Good, you know?
Yeah.
Kicking. Look at the highlights, folks. I'm telling you. I don't know where the kid got this kind of motivation. When he played in Calgary, he didn't play with this kind of motivation, and now he's in Florida, and I don't know where it came from, but the guy's putting on a hell of a show. If you're in Florida and you want to watch hockey, come see a Panthers game. You're not going to be disappointed. There's so much action right now on that team.
Nice. All right. Well, that about does it for us tonight, then. I guess have a nice off week next week, Christina. I will do my best to hold down the fort, and hopefully when you come back on the 21st, the Pelly Box is still standing, the studios are still here, and we still have a show. We're not shut down by the FCC or whatever it's called. So, I'll do my best.
That can't happen. I pay my way through it. We're okay. Don't worry. So the amount of stuff I have said, it can't get any worse.
Right.
I'm just saying. You'll
right,
be fine.
Right.
If anything, you know, when I come back, we'll just be celebrating the fact of who won the Daytona 500. That's all.
Yes. And we are now officially in the archived part of the show. So if you're listening to this part, thanks for tuning in and still listening. We had a pretty good show.
I went on a rampage.
We did. I can't wait for the show 21st to hear what we have to say about the Daytona 500 and the Super Bowl. I can't wait to get your take on the Super Bowl and the 500. That should be a great show. We might have to do.
People really want my take.
We might
when it comes
have
to
do.
Super Bowl.
I might have to schedule two shows, and we might just have to take 4 hours. Couple weeks, and we might have to have a 4-hour show. I don't know, people.
What?
You're gonna have to tune in and find out. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean,
I do get
pretty. I mean, look at it this way. This is the mood you'll find me in. If you want, okay. If the Daytona 500 goes seriously awry, and like there's anarchy, then I'll probably be on the rampage because I mean. Yeah, I mean, I just will be. I hope not.
I know, me too.
And I mean, I'm intrigued to see if Jimmy Johnson makes it in. He has to qualify on time.
It's going to be
fun
to see.
For the first time in his entire career, he has to qualify in.
It'll be
he doesn't
fun
get
to
a championship provisional.
I know.
I mean, the car, the legacy cars look
crazy.
Fast. In the Clash. They did.
Yeah.
They looked good. Whatever we want to call them. I mean, Petty GMS, Legacy Motorsports. I don't know. I'm still confused. But they looked fast at the Clash. Yes, it's a totally different beast. I get that. But, I mean, for a team with, like, one, I don't even know if you want to call him a veteran driver, in Eric Jones, and then they have Noah, I mean, they looked pretty good. The craziest part is the kid that led the flagship for them was Noah in the Clash. And he ran top 10. He was in the top 10, top 8 at one point. Then I mean, if you looked at none of those cars looked like cars at the end of that. They were all tore up. So he had some torn equipment, but nothing terrible. I mean, it looked like they could salvage the front end and didn't use that car again. I mean, it wasn't nearly as bad as some cars. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Yep.
I'm all in on the 42. I had to think what car number they was. Throws me off. I want the 9 car back. So hard. But never going to happen, Chase Elliott's not giving that up.
No. All right, well, I guess that ends our show this week. So have a good week.
I'll try, and then I'll see you guys in the Keys at some point, too, this week. So if anybody's in the Florida Keys this coming week, let me know. I'll be there.
Woo! All right. Soaking up the sun and sand.
Yeah, I'm going there. Why not? Mickey Mouse and, the Keys all in the same week. It works out.
Right. There you go.
All right.
Well,
a good night. Enjoy,
you
friends.
Too.
I will see you ever in like 2 weeks, y'all. Get ready. Daytona 500. Let's go.
All right. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. All right. That was Christina joining me today, as always. So thank you for listening today. If you're still listening, I appreciate you tuning in this long. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next Tuesday. It will be Valentine's Day. We'll see. Maybe we'll have a show. I don't know. Maybe I'll take the wife out for supper and surprise her. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll definitely be back in 2 weeks on the 21st to break down the Daytona 500 and all of the dirt racing that is taking place. You should tune in for that. Keep your eyes peeled. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Fast Lane Sports Show, and on Twitter as well. Back hopefully next week, maybe 2 weeks. We'll see. All right. For the rest of your week, we'll talk to you later. Christina, I'm the seat. See ya!